Welcome to NLP Talks with Laura Evans, a podcast for people looking to unleash their potential in business and life. I'm Laura Evans, international trainer of NLP and host for this podcast series. Join me for insightful interviews with people that know firsthand just how NLP can change lives, and they'll share with you tips and strategies to help you clear your path to success. Stay tuned. Hey, how you doing? I hope you're safe and well. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of the NLP Talks podcast. My name is Laura Evans, and I'm the founder and lead trainer here at Unleash Your Potential, and of course, your host for this podcast. I can't wait to bring you episode 9 of series 4. And today's amazing guest is Jan Oxenham. Now, Jan is not your average personal trainer, but she is a woman on a mission. For her, health and fitness is not about diet plans and training plans. And she busts the myth that health and fitness is 50% training and 50% nutrition. For her, it absolutely isn't. She helps people focus on their inner game, getting their mindset in the right place, busting patterns and habits that have held people back for years, and also is in the middle of launching the Real Woman Revolution. If you're interested in learning about how mindset plays a part in health and fitness, you are going to love today's episode. So let's cut across to Jan and find out, how did NLP find her?
It's got to be over 16 months ago. And the reason was I wanted to build up better communications and rapport with my clients. Mainly my clients are ladies of what I call a certain age, which is normally around about 45 plus. And I really felt that I had a gap missing when I was communicating with them. Even though we could talk about certain things like day-to-day things and films, but I didn't feel that I was getting really into finding out what they wanted. So it was a bit of a chance. I was doing a Freshers Week in Ebbervale Leisure Centre, and there was a gentleman there who had done an NLP course with yourself, Laura, Neil, who was on the next stand to me. Yes. So I started chatting to him. I didn't know much about NLP, but I was interested what he was talking about the communications, the rapport, etc. So then he gave me some advice to go on the website, have a look. So I went on the website, I looked you up, I looked up NLP, I started to get a bit of a better feel for NLP, and I seen that you had a two-day diploma. So I came on the two-day diploma course, and that was all I was going to do, 2 days. Back in, I think it was around about the July time, 2 days just to build up my communication skills. So it was going to be about me getting better to work with my clients. So it was 2 days communication, stroke rapport, then that was going to be it. But I came along, did the 2 days, and I was a bit hooked. So then I decided then, I learned so much in 2 days. And it wasn't just about the rapport and the communications, even though I learned loads. I learned a bit about anchoring and different things. And I thought, oh, whoa, I could learn a bit more about myself. So I decided to turn it on its head a bit. So it wasn't just about me with my clients. It started about me. So then from there, I went on to the practitioner's course. And of course, I think I went on a bit of a roller coaster because I went a bit learning about me, the benefits for me, then the benefits of how I was to use the tools with my clients, then more about me. So started a practitioner course and was so engrossed and thoroughly enjoyed it and thought, I'm going to do it all. So then I went from there then. So before I finished the practitioner course, I signed up for the master's and now completed the master's. So I've done your package.
I love it. Do you know, I didn't know that Neil was how you found out about it.
Yeah.
Oh, makes sense. So I know it's probably very difficult to go back pre-NLP, and I know it was probably only, like you say, 16, 18 months ago, but I'm always intrigued, and I know our listeners are always fascinated to hear about the benefits and, you know, what you think you got out of it. And I think probably it's worth us talking about you personally first and then the benefits that it perhaps has brought to your fitness, health and fitness business. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if you can go back to before you did NLP and what the Jan was like then, and then talk a little bit about the Jan now.
Right. I think if a lot of people knew me from doing my classes, they think I was very, very confident. because I came over as confident. A lot of it was, I think, was an act. I'd put my, like, what I would call my training kit on, which was my armour, and it was a bit of an act. Since I've done NLP, there's a lot there. It's not an act. It's me. I'm much more confident. I believe in myself a lot more. I have a better vision of what I want to do. I'm much more comfortable about Jan. Instead of pretending to be this different Jan, it's just given me a whole more holistic approach about me. And I think it's also made, and this sounds like a funny word, but I'm much more content with my life. My life is much more content. Everything just seems to fit in now, where before I just seemed to be a bit like disjointed with certain things. But now I'm content and I know exactly where I'm going and what I should be doing personally, which is great, as well as professionally. So confidence is a big thing. Yeah. And I think that people might watch this who will actually say, really, you weren't confident before? But I think I had just learned the tools to do my job and I was just going out there a bit like a robot, where now I'm much more confident. I can change things around a lot more. I'm not frightened to change things when I'm working, and I'm not frightened even to get out of my comfort zone in my personal life.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think you're right. I mean, people used to say that about me, you know, before I did NLP, but Laura, you were always so confident, things like that. And I was like, no, I wasn't. Do you know what? What I did was I learned to put a mask on every day. I learned to put my body armor on, you know, which for me was my work wear. Now, I know, you know, we laugh and joke, don't we, about you and your gym kit. You always like your gym kits. But it is, you know, you learn, don't you, that when you're in that role, you become an actress. You know who you have to be and how you have to be successful, but it doesn't mean to say that's what you feel inside. And I think that's the sad thing about so many people. And you know, like you, I know I'm really glad I found NLP because I didn't have to fake it anymore, because it was me. You know, and it really made that difference. And one of the things I love, I mean, there's so many things I love about you, Jan, one of the things I love was the very first time I suggested to you that you should be doing Facebook Lives. And you almost went like white as a sheet. No, I can't do that, Laura. No, I can't do that. So tell everybody, I know it's only just one tiny, tiny snippet of your transformation, but I just think it's so common for people, you know, and how you went from no, Laura, I can't do this, to in reality, not that many months later, walking in the morning on your phone going, I love doing Facebook Lives. I mean, I spent my tea out that morning when I heard you say that on a Facebook Live. So tell everybody a little bit about what that journey was like.
Well, you persuaded me to do a Facebook Live. That's the plate.
You weren't doing it though, were you? Let's be honest. When I first said to you, you were like, no.
No, I said, no way. I said, no way. And then you said, look, you can record them and play them, but you said you'll just record them and record them and record them and you'll keep changing them. So you said, just go and do it. Just go out and give it a go. So we were doing it. We'd done a one-to-one. And then I thought, right. So we came off the one-to-one and I just went and did it. I just went down, put my phone out like you told me to do it, and I just went for it. And after I did it, I thought, that wasn't so bad, was it? And it didn't take so long, because where I was recording them, I could be spending an hour because I kept changing them and swapping them. So I decided, well, it can't be that bad. And then because we had gone into lockdown and I couldn't go to the gym, I was walking. I thought, well, why don't I just do it all at the same time? I'm out having my walk. I'm out, you know, in the fresh air. And I thought, right, just grab the phone and go for it. And that's what I did. And then I sort of built up that it became, you know, I think I was out walking some morning, 7:15 in the morning, and people were waiting for me to jump on and just tell them about the day and, you know, what my thoughts were and what I was going to be doing and if I was going to do any other training sessions. So it just became a sort of routine every day, and my confidence just grew doing it. And I think as well was, even a lot of people were commenting for the private messages I had from people who were struggling and were saying, thank you for that message. It hit home today when I talked about mindset and getting yourself in the right mindset, and you know, saying to them, okay, you can't get in the gym, you can't get in the swimming pool, but you can get out and walk. You know, you can put your trainers on or your comfy shoes on. And people started to actually relate to that and send me messages. Thanks, Jan, that was really good. I also talked about different things about food, about different nutrition. And people said, well, I never thought of it like that. Where I even said, look, you know, there's going to be sometimes you're going to be down. There's going to be days. Don't beat yourself up about it. Today is today. When you get up tomorrow, you know, if you get back then, back on, you know, trying to be your healthy eating as much as you can. And people actually started commenting and saying, thank you. And inboxing me, Jan, today was a terrible day. I haven't had the best day, but I'm, you know, tomorrow is a new day and now I can face the new day.
I love it. But no, I messaged you, didn't I? Straight after you did that Facebook Live, and I went, I actually really enjoy doing this. I love doing Facebook Live. And I messaged you straight after. I was like, oh my goodness, I never, ever thought you would say that. But I think, you know, part of, and I know, you know, we'll maybe let's talk a little bit about this now, but I know one of the biggest things for you has been around, you know, your confidence and how NLP has enabled you to become more confident, like doing Facebook Lives when you originally said you were never ever going to do them. So tell everybody a little bit about that journey and you know, the confidence, you know, maybe let's start talking about maybe your role as a personal trainer and the difference that that confidence has made for you in your job.
Yeah, I think as a personal trainer, people look to you for loads of information and advice. And yeah, it was great that I could tell them, you know, how to do certain things in the gym, you know, talk to them about food, talk to them about, you know, about, you know, how sugars affect your body. But I wasn't confident talking to them about the mind. You know, even like myself, you know, and I'd be honest, as anybody who knows me, I'm a morning person. You know, I'm up at like 5:20 in the morning and I'm up there and I'm out and I do it. But the thought of going training after, I'd have to talk myself into it. So I really, after the NLP, really got to understand how my mind worked, where my beliefs were, where my values were, why I behaved the way I did, why this was my behaviour. And maybe, you know, looking back now, if I'd known this a long time ago, I most probably would have been a fitter and healthier person years and years ago. So it's given me the tools to be able to talk to people and also to be able to accept that's how people behave. You know, that I can't change your behaviour, okay? I can work with you. You are the person that can change your behaviour. But because I understand that now, I can actually work with people because I can understand that not everybody's like a 5:20 in the morning person and want to get up and jump in the swimming pool, you know.
No, they're certainly not. You and I are opposite in that regard.
Yeah. You know, so I think I've got a lot more respect for people, the respect for their beliefs, their values, you know, and how much of an impact it does play on their life. I fully understand it a lot more, how our mind works, how our unconscious mind works. You know, I would have a battle going on, you know, if I had to train in the night. I always just like having the devil and the angel on your shoulders. Go on, Jan, go to the gym. Nah, you want to go home, you want to go home and have a cup of tea. And I really understand where some of my ladies say, like, and I mainly work with ladies, and I said, they're sitting in the car park, in the car, having a battle. They want to come in through the door, but they're scared stiff. And they're having this internal battle. And now I understand that how I can work with them to help them with the internal battles by using the tools that I've got out of my NLP toolkit, that we can work on your mind. Yeah, I can work on your body, I can work on your nutrition, but I can work with you on your mind. So it's given me a lot more confidence to do that. And actually, it's given me a lot more confidence to actually say it, because I understand it, because I've been through it. I've been through the masters. It all came together for me on the masters. And I know now how it all works and what happens to people. So I think when I'm speaking to people, I'm speaking to people with a lot more knowledge. Yeah, where I had the knowledge for the training, I had the knowledge for the nutrition, I didn't have the knowledge for the mind. And now I know that I've got the three parts that can come together for people.
I love it. Now, I want to come on to that in just one moment, but I just want to backtrack because there's something really quite profound that you said that I just want to make sure our listeners hear, because, you know, there are going to be people listening to this podcast all the way around the world. You know, we have more than 12,000 downloads. We're in 93 countries worldwide. And most people have missed. There's a little phrase you said that I want to draw out, and that is, I can't change their behavior, but I can help them to change their behavior. Yeah. Could you just expand a little bit on what you mean by that? Because, you know, my experience of personal trainers, you know, is that when people get, it's almost as if, and, you know, correct me in a minute if I'm wrong, but it's almost like people get to the point that they're at their wit's end. They don't know what else to do to get their health and fitness in good shape. So they go and engage a personal trainer. And it's almost like people are looking at that personal trainer to wave a magic wand and to make the health and fitness just appear out of nowhere and expect the personal trainer to be the solution. And I think a lot of personal trainers, as you've said, try to be that solution. They try to be that, I can fix it all for you. And if you do what I tell you to do, and it's all going to work, and we know that doesn't work. So just tell everybody a little bit more about that phrase. I can't change their behavior, but I can help them to change their behavior.
So So I'll give you some examples. People will come to me and say, right, okay, I want to get fit, John. I'm happy. I'll train 7 days a week. You tell me now, you give me a plan for 7 days a week. You write me out a diet and I'll do it. And I know that within 3 weeks, a month, that's not going to work. I don't like people to diet because they're not going to stick to it. So what I do is I work with them. So we sit down and look at the whole package, which I can do now. So we look at what type of training they like. I can't tell them, you know, right, okay, it's brilliant, go and do circuit 7 days a week. So I look at the whole package. Well, so we sit down, so we look at what they eat, why they eat, you know, and that's another thing, what they eat and why they eat, the times that they eat, are they a stress eater? If you're a stress eater, what can you do to help it? You know, I'll have some people will say that it's my go-to food. I know yeah. If my one lady is watching this, she'll say it's a go-to food. She would eat a sandwich. She put anything in a sandwich. And she said she'd do it, you know, if she was in a rush, or she'd just do it because it felt good. It made her feel good. So we had to examine why she was doing it, the behaviour behind why she was eating the sandwich, the behaviour of why at 6 o'clock in the night my other lady had to sit down and drink gallons of Coke. So it wasn't, and they knew what they were doing. They knew that they weren't putting good stuff in their body. And then why, like my one lady will say, there's a certain time of the year she can't do anything because of something that's happened in her past. So we've examined those things. So we've examined the behaviour and what we can put in place to help them. So whether it's me sending them a message, whether it's me, you know, sending them a text, or whether it's me saying, OK, that is your time out. You've got to have your time out. And for some of my ladies, it's not a good time. It's a week of the year that I can't really cope with. So what we do is say, OK, that's your week. But we'll put a plan either side of it so that I know then you're going to come back, and then we just pick it up and we just carry on going with it.
Yeah, and I think the point you made there about stress food, you know, and again, this is where I've seen, and no disrespect to your colleagues in the industry, but I think a few of me to take a few tips out of your book, because, you know, if someone is a stress eater, it's no good sitting down with someone and saying, do you know what, you need to eat all this veg, all this healthy food, cut your carbs out, do all that, don't eat the cake, don't eat the bread, don't drink the Pepsi and all that kind of stuff. And we know from NLP that, you know, there is only so long that people can consciously keep their health and fitness on the track that they want. It's like the lady you said, you know, I'll train 7 days a week, you just tell me what to do. But we know that that's her consciously trying to solve an unconscious problem. The problem sits at the unconscious level. The problem sits at the patterns and strategies which she's running in her head, you know. And if someone you know, manages their stress through food, it's no good just saying don't eat this, eat this, because that's not dealing with the cause of the problem. That's dealing with the effect of patterns that they run. And I think so many personal trainers miss this whole chunk of health and fitness, which is, it's not just about you know, the food and drink. Now I know that, you know, there are a lot of personal trainers, and we kind of discussed this previously, that, you know, some personal trainers will say, you know, 50% of success is down to training and 50% is down to nutrition. And I know you don't subscribe to that model. So I'm not going to swear on this podcast, because we try not to on the podcast, but politely, I think you might want to rip up that myth and tell us, Jan, what's your take on it? Because it's not down to 50-50, is it?
No. It's your mindset is the massive part of it. Okay, so, you know, you can have a debate. Some people say, you know, I've talked and I say it could be 30% mind, 30% food, 30% nutrition. I think for some people, some days it's 50% mind, 25% food, 25% training, because if their mind isn't in the right place, okay, they're not going to do the training. They're not going to eat properly. And this is why I found, this is why when I started the NLP journey to just the communications and rapport, when we got into mind, about the mind, the unconscious mind and behaviours, it really hit home. It hit home to me. I will be a bad eater and a bad drinker if I'm having a bad time. If I've got stress levels, it's much easier to reach for something that isn't healthy because I can just grab it. It's much easier to not do the training, okay, than actually make the effort to do it. So I have to put behavioural strategies in for myself. One of my big ones for me is go out and have a walk. Either, you know, so like, or swim, okay? I love the pool, I love the water. So for me, if I'm having a bad day, if I can get in that pool, or I know it's not going to be a good day, if I can get in that pool, I'll get my mindset in the right place. I know the rest will follow. If I can't get my mind in the right place, the rest just goes out the window. And, you know, I've got some of my ladies will say that if they can get through the door in the morning, first thing, then they've got their mindset is there. They've met like-minded people. They've had a chat. We have a laugh. You know, they do the training and then they think, right, I've started the day, right? I can go on.
Yeah. And I think you're so right. And I think this isn't just about health and fitness. I think this applies to so many walks of life, professionally, personally. But if your mindset isn't right, like your mindset is like the foundation pillar, isn't it, of all of it,
yeah,
upon which you can build the training plan and the health and fitness. But like you say, if you haven't got the mindset, you know, I mean, going back to some of the ladies that I know are a part of your community, you know, if they are having a battle in the car to, you know, to even get themselves out of the car and get in the gym, you might as well rip out the training plan and nutrition plan because it's worthless if they haven't got the mindset to support their objective, to support their goal, to support the mission which they have. I'd love you to tell everybody the story of the lady that came in to see you that just wanted a diet plan.
Well, I don't write diet plans because I know people won't stick to them.
Say that again, right? Because this is an alien concept for most personal trainers, right? Yeah. In front of us and on the podcast today, folks, you are listening to a personal trainer that does not issue diet plans. Yeah. Jan, tell us more.
I won't write a diet plan. I've had them done for myself and I've tried to stick to them. And I'll be honest, I've done everything. I've done, and I'm not knocking any of them, right? Because I've lost weight, I've put weight on. People who know me, yes, I have. But when my ladies come to me, I won't write a diet plan. We sit down, okay, and we look at a holistic approach. I do something what I call an MOT, which has got 10 points in it. And part of that, we talk about nutrition and we really find out what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat. Because once, you know, one of my ladies today talking about it, it was really, really into her training. And she's saying, like, you know, we were talking about food. And I said, well, do you eat salmon? Ate salmon, Jan. Ate fish, Jan. And, you know, she spent like 10 minutes reading off all the things that she hated. So if I'd written a diet plan, one of the things I would have put in would have been fish and salmon because I know how good it is for him. So it'd be no good putting on a piece of paper because she wouldn't do it. So I just sit down and we talk about the nutrition. We talk about what they like, what they don't like. And then we sort of put a plan together to look at that. But I also do this 10-point MOT. So we start focusing on other things, which is your bone mass, your muscle mass, your water, your viscular fat. These are all things that are going to, you know, we look at from a health point of view and how what we put in our body and how we train can help them. So when I started off as a personal trainer, I used to think, right, I've got to write people a diet plan and, you know, they've got to eat this, this and this. But no, I talk to them about watching their calories. I talk about what type of food they put in their body. You know, we'll talk about, you know, you need so many calories to actually just get off a chair in the day. You know, you're not going to survive unless you put the stuff in your body. But I won't stay there and say, right, this is what you've got to eat for the next 5 days, 7 days or whatever.
But then also the reality is, and I think, you know, this always, you know, and anybody that's been in the training room with me will know how much I raise an eyebrow at some of these, let's call them health and fitness industry. I'm trying to be politically correct, Jan, without talking about it. But, you know, I don't know, what are they called? Food substitutes, do we call them? Where, you know, people do shakes and all that kind of stuff without naming any brands or anything. But, you know, my point is not that. My point is that if you set someone a food diet, right, now whether that is a reduced calorie diet, whether that's a different food group, whether that is supplements, meal replacements, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day, you can't live on that forever. And at some point, people are going to go back to eating normally. And if what they do is restrict, and again, tell me if I'm wrong here, this is just my understanding, but if you put them on a diet for, say, a week or 2 weeks, at the end of that diet, if nothing has changed with their mindset, then everything's going to go back to the way it was before, because the mindset doesn't support the change that they're trying to do. And whether that is shakes, whether that is other meal replacements, whether that's reduced calorie, like, it's, to me, it's always been a bit like, well, all right, I mean, it might work for a couple of weeks, but that doesn't fundamentally get underneath the skin of what makes someone a fit and healthy person, right?
I think what you've got to do, Laura, is you've got to look at it all holistically. So if you are a person that, I think you've got to find what you like. So if you like a protein shake, like I have a protein shake, right, in the morning, do my training, and I have my protein shake and different things. So I will eat healthy. And I think that's where you've got to find with everybody is find what they will eat. I know some people will take protein shakes to put weight on, to gain weight. So it's not always about losing weight because some of the shakes have got your protein and everything you need. Like I take them and I put porridge in with mine. So it's finding, I put a spoonful of porridge in with mine, porridge oats and give it a good shake. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So you've got to find what suits you and what works for you and how it works as well around your lifestyle. Because that's the other worrying thing is that what a lot of us do, we've got such busy lives that what we'll do is we'll grab certain foods and the foods we grab and the ones that are not good for us. The other thing is it's a minefield out there when you start looking at your labels and your packaging and what's actually in the food and how they've taken certain foods out. So where they've taken, say, fats out and added sugars. So really it's looking at everything, as I said earlier, holistically. And it's really finding what suits you as an individual. So that's why I won't write out a diet plan for everybody. That's why I sit down and do it holistically, working at the training, the nutrition and the mindset. Because if I said to somebody like my lady today, right, OK, to get super fit and healthy, you're going to have to go and eat fish. She's not going to go and eat fish because she told me today I absolutely ate fish.
Yeah. So tell me then a little bit more about how you've been using your NLP skills to support some of these awesome women that you work with. Now, we're going to come on to talk about the Real Woman Revolution, which is your thing. And I love talking about the Real Woman Revolution. But before we get to that, just like, I mean, I know we have a technique called the like to dislike in NLP, otherwise known as mapping across. And if anybody's listening to the podcast today and they've got no idea what the mapping across or like to dislike technique is, go back and listen to series 2 of this podcast, and I did a whole podcast on the like to dislike and mapping across technique. It's the same technique, just 2 different names. So listeners, if you're listening and you don't know what we're talking about, go back to series 2 and find the episode. But Jan, the like to dislike technique, I know, has been one of the things that you have really, really found some value in. And there are 3 different stories I know that you can talk to us about today. One about the lady in the Diet Pepsi, biscuits and bread. So you take them in any order you like, but tell us, what difference has this NLP tool made to these ladies you work with?
Right. Some of them have come to me and they'll actually say, I know what is my big problem. So my lady with the Diet Pepsi, biggest problem is she was drinking gallons and gallons of Diet Pepsi. Okay. She had to have one everywhere, in a car, in a fridge, everywhere. She'd even say she knew that if she was going to come to a training class, when she went back in the car, she'd drink a Diet Pepsi. She wouldn't bring in the gym, she'd bring her water in the gym. So when we got to really get to know each other and I was personally training her, that was something she held up her hand about and said, look, John, I'm drinking gallons of it. I know it's not good for me. I know it makes me bloated. And she said, but I can't give it up. She said, I don't know. She said, it's like my comfort blanket. I keep going to it. So I talked to her about the like to dislike, that where I could actually take it away and replace it with something else so she didn't drink it. So she laughed at me, thought I was bonkers, explained all about how it all worked and everything. So she said, look, I'll give anything a go. Let's do it. So she came along. We had a good like pre-talk, a good chat, and it, you know, built all up to it. And then I did the technique, made her bring a bottle of Diet Pepsi in with her, put it on my shelf, and we did the like to dislike, did it all. And at the end, I said, do you want to drink the Diet Pepsi? And she just looked and she went, no, no. So anyway, she went away.
Gallons every day that again, if people don't know how long the like to dislike takes, I mean, how long did the forget the pre-frame, which we know as NLPers is really important and sets the client up for success, and a lot of NLPers out there forget the value of a pre-frame, but let's just park that. The actual technique, how long did that take?
15-20 minutes.
15 minutes and you took someone that drank 4 gallons every day and they looked at it on the shelf and went, I don't want it.
Yeah. And then she said to me as she was leaving, but I'll let you know if I drink it again. I said, okay, carry on. So periodically I've said to her, and it's quite funny, even laugh this, but periodically I've said to her, you're on that Diet Coke. I haven't touched it, John. She's actually in the fridge. And she came in yesterday, because of course I was on my course last week. She came in yesterday and she said to me, my daughter had a Diet Coke. And I just looked at her and I thought, oh my God, I couldn't drink that now.
Amazing. Oh my goodness. And how long ago did you do that technique with her now?
When did I do my practice course? It's got to be about 8-10 months ago now. Got to be 8-10 months.
It's a while ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like 8-10 months and she still hasn't touched any Pepsi.
No.
Oh my goodness, her insides must be thanking her.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said she didn't even think about it. She didn't even reach for it, you know. And that's what I was going back about, the behaviour. So that's a behavioural thing. That's not something I have said to her, you have got to give up diet Coke. You have got to, you know, give up bread. This is, if you don't give it up, your training will go out the window. It's not. It's something we discussed that was a big barrier to her. And that's a behaviour, and that's something that we've got rid of through the NLP technique.
I love it. And as you say, you know, this is the power of NLP. This is the power of getting into the unconscious mind of the client and helping them reset what they're doing. You know, humans are habitual creatures. You know, the neuroscientists tell us that we run 10 to 20,000 automatic unconscious processes every single day. You know, and if you take that one strategy or that one pattern for that lady that she was running multiple times every single day, and to have that now changed, that's just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I love it. Tell us about, I don't know which one you want to talk about, the biscuit or the breads example.
The lady, I'll do the biscuits first. The lady with the biscuits, she said she'd be great all day, fine, no problem. But it came to a certain time of the night and it was like, I'll have a cuppa, I'll have a few biscuits. And she said it ended up, it wasn't a few biscuits, it'd be a packet of biscuits, because she said she just sat down, watched a bit of telly. So she said she could see that becoming a habit every night. And she said she started to know the time, she started thinking, it's time for my cuppa and my biscuit. So we discussed it and I did the like to dislike on the biscuit. And she said she stopped eating the biscuit. She still had the cuppa, but she didn't reach for the biscuit. So she said that was another thing, because she said the amount of sugar she was taking in, it wasn't making her feel good. But she said it wasn't so much about she was trying to lose weight. She just wanted to get the habit of putting that much sugar in her body, because she knew she was putting too much in. So we did a like to dislike, you know, did the pre-firming, did the like to dislike, and she hadn't eaten the biscuits.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, that must be about 6 months ago.
I love it because, you know, and I'm sure you get this. I know I get it a lot. People go, how long does it last?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to be like just like a few hours, or is it going to be like a few days? But to sit here and go, right, so that's two examples we've had now, one at about 8 months, one at about 6 months, and they're still going strong. I love it. What about the bread lady?
The bread lady, what she said was she just loved sandwiches. She put anything in a sandwich, anything at all, you know, and she said she'd be making a sandwich while she was making an evening meal or a lunch or whatever. So she said she just had to get out of the habit of get the bread and the sandwich. She said she did everything. She'd stop buying bread when she went to the supermarket, and then she'd go, I'm just popped in the shop, it's on your corner. Or she said, I'd put them in the freezer, and then I'd think, I'll just take two slices out. So we discussed it, and she said, I know, I'm not going to be able to give it up. So we did a like to dislike for bread, and again, I always make them bring it with them, Laura. I always make them bring it with them so that after we've done it, they can look at it and say, do I still want it? And she said the same, I don't want the bread. I don't want it.
Amazing. But that's a really, it's a fascinating, and I know you talk a lot about how, you know, bread is the downfall of quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite common. And I think it's like your example there is so important, because that's a classic example, again, where someone has consciously said, I know I shouldn't do this. I know it's not good for me. I want to do something different, but I'm struggling. I've tried all the traditional ones. You know, we've all done it. Just, you know, when you go food shopping, don't buy the bread, or don't buy the crisps, or don't buy the chocolate. And then it gets to that time of that night and you find yourself getting in the car, popping around the corner to the corner shop. Or like she said, you know, I'll put it in the freezer because then I know I won't touch it. Guess what? You pop out the freezer, get a couple of slices, shove them in the toaster, defrost them. And because it's habitual, because it's patterns, because it's behaviours. And as you say, you know, I mean, three great examples of where you've changed their thinking around these things and it's changed their behaviour.
Yeah.
And I remember someone saying to me years ago that a lot of people haven't got their head around the fact that eating is actually, for most people, an unconscious process. Shopping is an unconscious process. People do not consciously eat. You know, we sit in front of the telly, or we're talking over dinner or whatever, and before we know it, the plate goes from full to empty. Or, you know, we're in the car feeling a bit hungry. Before we know it, we're in the McDonald's drive-through, you know, and all those things. It's just habitual, isn't it? People unconsciously do this stuff. It's interesting you mentioned earlier on in the podcast about when you get people to do food diaries, and actually what you're really interested in is how they were feeling before they ate it and why they selected what they selected. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, I think because I think at certain times of the day or certain times of people's lives, you don't realise that you're eating certain things. So when they write down what they're eating, I ask them to write down how they feel when they just before they've eaten it, or sometimes even after they've eaten it, you think, oh, why did I eat that? You know, so and then we look at the patterns of why they're eating it, not just what it is that they're eating, you know, and then we, you know, and it's the same with alcohol and drink and everything. And, you know, people will say, right, it's because it's a certain day, I got to have a drink, or it's a certain time, you know, it's a Friday, so I got to have a takeaway or whatever. So we start, so I look at the habits, but also then times when, you know, there's certain anniversaries will happen in their life or certain things will happen. Or, you know, somebody will say, you know, it's like 5 o'clock, every 5 o'clock, I got to have that bar of chocolate or whatever it is, and why. So we start looking at the behaviours around why we eat and when we eat.
I think you're right. I really do. I think there's so much more that goes on around health and fitness than literally just getting to the gym and watching what you eat. I mean, there's so much, isn't there? I know that you've had some really great success using one of our most favourite tools, Timeline Therapy, with some of your clients. And again, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't got a clue what Timeline Therapy is, go back to series 2 because I did a podcast on that as well. But if, to be honest, if you're a regular listener of our podcast, you'll hear pretty much every guest I've interviewed has mentioned Timeline Therapy. It is just the awesome technique. So Jan, tell us a little bit about how you've used TLT whilst helping your ladies get their health and fitness where it needs to be.
When I use TLT, it's down to because I've got to really know them, and they told me what some of the problems they've experienced in their life, and then we've discussed then, you know, because of course it covers the 5 negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt and guilt. So we've discussed it and I've explained it all. So then what we've, the people that I've worked with, then we've sat down, we've had a good pre-frame and we've gone through everything, and then the people that I've worked with, for a lot of them, it's made them feel sort of like lighter is a word a lot of them use. I feel lighter. I feel more energized. I feel now that I can face things a bit better. And really, one or two of them actually said, I can actually start to focus on me. They realized then that they're focusing on themselves. It's about themselves. Yeah, we've all got family. We've all got things we've got to do. But actually, you know, putting myself, sounds terrible for some people, but learning to put yourself first. And if you put yourself first and look after yourself, how much then you can look after others. And then where people have said to them, you look different. You're acting different. You know, I don't really know what it is, but there's something different about you. And I think that's the great thing about Timeline Therapy, the way they feel in themselves, and how other people notice about how they are, they benefited and how they're behaving.
I know. I remember you said to me about one of your clients, her husband said, where have you been? What's been going on?
Yeah, what's happened to you? Yeah, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think one of the things, and again, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what Timeline Therapy is, seriously go back and find out about it in series 2. But one of the wonderful things about Timeline Therapy, as you say, Jan, is allowing people to let go of the anger, sadness, hurt, fear and guilt from the past. Because I think a lot of people don't realize that actually some of those what we call significant emotional events from the past, those bigger life events that have impacted us fundamentally, that have left us hurt, that have left us angry, that have left us very sad because of those events in our past, how that continues to play out in the present day for a lot of people, and how that will impact their behavior in the current moment. And I think you're right. I mean, I can so see a place for helping people improving their health and fitness by getting rid of the stuff from the past. I mean, is that kind of your experience?
Yeah. I think we carry so much around with us, and it does a massive impact on our life. But when people, and I've been through it myself, because as you know, and it does make you feel more energized. It does make you feel lighter. And it does make you feel, and I found that when it's happened, when I've been through it, it makes me feel more focused. I have a better vision. I feel that I know where I'm going. So that's, they've all got to be pluses, haven't they? You know, You know, there's no negatives there. They're all pluses. If you're feeling better, you're more energised, you're lighter, you're more focused. They've got to be all pluses.
Yeah. And they're going to help you have the motivation, the focus and things to improve your health and fitness.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, you know, and I think it's quite difficult, isn't it, for us? Because we're the other side of all our NLP training and all of our personal development. It almost seems obvious to us because we've done the change work ourselves. But I think it's not really that obvious to some people when people sit there and think, oh, I didn't think about the fact that, you know, I had a really messy divorce, or I had a, you know, I had an issue in my childhood. I'd never really connected that that might be impacting how I behave in the present moment. And, you know, I think there's, you know, there's that thing, you know, that you know, the past can have an impact. You know, and the more that we can help people with that, the more we can free them from their past. It's a bit of a corny phrase, I know, but you know what I mean? Like really help people, you know, to move forward, then that's amazing. Yeah, I love it. It's brilliant.
Well, that's what I think was the other great thing about the course, is that I went through it. Mm. I didn't just learn a technique to do it on somebody. I went through it myself, so I knew what the benefits were. I actually experienced it all. So I'm actually can talk to people from my own experience, not just saying, oh, well, I went on a course, I've learned this technique and I can do it on you. You know, I've been there. I've experienced every technique that there is. It's been done on me and I've done it on others, but I've been through it. So I know the benefits to myself.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. I can't, well, as you know, having done all the courses, you know, I can't bear the idea that someone goes and theoretically learns a topic. I mean, what gives people the right to go and do stuff to other people that they haven't experienced themselves, you know? Yeah. And also, I know that's probably something that your ladies really value in you. It helps you become such a genuine coach and such a genuine helper of others, because you've been there, you know what it's like, you know what it's like to go through those processes. So, now, we need to talk about the Real Woman Revolution. I absolutely, you know, I, as I said to you at the beginning, there's so much I love about you, Jan, but I love the fact that you are not a typical personal trainer. You're not a typical person that just wants to issue out training plans and nutrition plans. And, you know, you go so much deeper, and that's why you're so successful. So tell our listeners how your concept of the Real Woman Revolution was born, and tell everybody a little bit about what it's all about.
Well, I think the Real Woman Revolution was born from me actually getting out there and doing my lives and actually talking about different topics on different days, and people coming back to me and saying, well, I didn't realise that, and that's really interesting. When I talked about, you know, where people were saying, like, I'm struggling with different things, Jan, and I said, well, have you looked at your stress? Have you looked at your sleep? You know, and different things. So, and then a lot of it was, well, I'm a real woman. You know, I'm an older lady. I've been through all this. I've got the baggage. I've done it. I've got the battle scars, as I call them. So I started to think that there's a lot of real women out there that want to become healthier and want to become fitter. It's not all about your size and your weight. It's about a holistic approach. And I know I use that word a lot. So that's when we started talking about your bone mass and your muscle mass and your viscular fat and all that. So I want to make women, and I'm sorry if there's any men listening, but it is what I do. I wanted to make women feel really empowered about themselves, to love themselves for what they are. We're all different shapes, we're all different sizes, okay? I'm far from perfect, and I know that. And I go through a journey every day, you know. I do my fitness, I do my health, but I have good days and I have bad days. So I wanted it to be a real woman revolution, that you can look after yourself, you can get healthier, you can get fit, okay, and you can do it for you. So that's where the idea of the Real Woman Revolution. I've got a bit of a mission for women to become empowered and love themselves for who they are and what they are. So that's where it came from, really.
I love it. And I think that's the thing. Again, you see, that's what one of the things I love about you. You know, when people think about personal trainers, usually, I mean, this is my biases, I fully appreciate, but I think personal trainers, either, you know, you've got people like my brother used to be, which is, you know, bulking up, big muscle mass, want to lift the heavy, you know, heavy weights and, you know, really bulk up and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be like that. And then you've got the other end, which is people that are, you know, and I don't wish to sound like I'm categorizing people, but, you know, younger people, dare I say it, that, you know, are already in reasonably good shape, that want to look after after themselves and, you know, want to be a size 8 and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and all good respect to them. But there was so in the market, there are so few people focusing on real women, like you say, the 45 plus category, that are not interested in necessarily being the skinniest that they can be or the biggest muscle mass that they can acquire. They want to look after their body because they realize we've only got one body for the rest of our life. And if you don't look after it, then at some point it's going to cave in. You know, I mean, I know I've heard you talk, and please, you know, do share, but I know you talked a bit before about, you know, when people have got joint problems, well, actually they need to increase their muscle mass, not because they want to be, you know, lift heavy weights, but because it protects their bones, you know. And you talked, I remember one of the lives I heard you do, which was about bone density and bone mass. And it was a massive light bulb moment for me, because, you know, there are people like me that don't want to be thin and skinny. I want to be healthy. I want to, this body of that I live in, I want it to last as many years as it can. And I've learned so much off you over the last few months of you've been doing your life. So personal thank you, because you've helped me learn. But yeah, tell everybody a little bit more about that, because this is, like you say, this is the transformation for the real woman revolution, isn't it? This is at the heart of it. This is not health and fitness as most of us might categorize it in the ways I've described, but it's this, like, I want to be healthy. I want to be good in my own skin. It's not about calories. It's not about diet plans. You know, so anyway, I'm waffling, but over to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely a place for people who want to work out and building muscle. And like you said, for, you know, they want to get muscular, they want to get toned. There is a place. There is a place for you younger people that want to be your size 8. And social media plays a massive role in how it does that for people. But there is a lot of ladies, maybe 45, 50, whatever. There's a lot of ladies that are out there that feel that they don't fit into any of this. You know, they would know where to start to building up muscle mass. And they know that they don't want to be a size 8 anymore, you know, because that's not them. What they want to do is look after their body. And I always say, we've only got one body and this is where we live. So we've got to look after the inside. If we look after the inside, the outsides will come. You know, if you do want to tone up, fantastic. But like your bone mass, if we don't keep our bone mass up, especially as women, we're going to get osteoporosis, and that's not good for us. And you can build your bone mass, you can work on it. So that's part of my MOT is. And then we can work on how to build your bone mass. You know, working on weight is brilliant. You know, a lot of women are scared stiff of weight, but if you work on weight, you do it properly, you will build up your muscle mass, which is great for protecting your joints, but you'll also then help with your bone density. So when I'm selling, which sounds terrible, when I'm selling health and fitness and well-being, I talk a lot about the inside, about how much water you need to get in your body, about your visceral fat. How many people ever think about the fat around your organs? No, you stand and look in the mirror and you worry about the fat that's on the outside, but we need to look at what's on the inside. And people think because you're a certain size, you know, all the insides are going to be great, but it's not. It doesn't mean that. Some people are very fortunate that they don't put weight on. So I come from, let's look at the insides. Let's look at your muscle mass, your visceral fat, your bone density, you know, your fat percentages, all these things that play a massive role then. And then if you start looking after all of them, then the outsides, if you want to change the outsides, will come. And that's where I come from, the real woman revolution, because we are real women, you know, and we need to look at ourselves. You know, if we want to live in this body for a long, long time, you know, for the next number of years, we've got to make a difference to what we put inside and how we behave inside. So that's where my real woman revolution came from.
I love it. I love it. I'm so, so pleased that you landed on that. And you do quite within the real woman revolution, you've got all sorts of different things you offer now, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I do the MOTs and I do the bone mass, but I'm going to start doing packages now, since I've completed all my NLP stuff, because I can see that I can do a lot more around behaviour, as we talked earlier. So I'm going to start with sort of, I want to do day workshops, which we'll have to come, hopefully the beginning of the next year. That's my plan now. When I do day workshops, we look at different types of exercise. You know, we will do weights. Women will do weights. Hopefully some work in the water, because aqua's great, and we work with water weights, which is brilliant. So if you are a person who's got joint problems or any sort of, you know, health problems and you can't work on land, we can work in the water. And then I'm going to look at all different behaviours, confidence building. I'm going to look at nutrition, how to read labels, I'm not going to knock any of these companies that put labels on things, but how you actually read them, you know, how much sugar is in a pot of porridge, etc. So I want to put a workshop together. So educate people. It's not going to be a weight loss program. It's going to be a workshop to come and find out about yourself and your health, and then hopefully build them up into perhaps 2 or 3 day retreats. So giving people a chance as well then to find out a lot more about why we behave the way we do, and a lot then is explaining about the other NLP tools that we got that help with all your unconscious mind and all your beliefs, all your values. So really building up a package of health and well-being covering mind, body, fitness, nutrition, the whole package.
You make sure I know those dates. I'm coming on a retreat. I want to be part of the Real Woman Revolution. Listen, as always, I'm looking at the clock going, there's so many things I want to still ask you. So I'm going to try and ask you a couple of really quick questions as we start to come towards the end of the episode. So I'm sure that aside from real women like us that are going to listen to this, and real men too, who are going to get benefit out of this podcast episode, I'm sure we're also going to get some personal trainers that are going to be listening to this podcast. As somebody that has done all her NLP training now, whoop whoop, as of last week, qualified master practitioner, if you were to give personal trainers, you know, listening to this episode, if you were to give them a couple of little tips on how language and NLP can help them, what are the kinds of things that you think a personal trainer could start to focus on right now, listening to this podcast, that could help make a difference for their clients?
I think it's got to be people's behaviour, why they behave the way they do. Why, you know, I've done it myself. I've had personal trainers and cancelled them. Why did I cancel them? Why did I cancel our session? You know, was it a real cancellation or was it an excuse? I've had my ladies, you know, I PT'd a lady this morning and she said when she walked through the door, Jan, when I woke up this morning, I thought, oh my God, I got Jan this morning. I just wanted to be a duvet day and pull a duvet over my head. But she said, I thought, no, I've got to come. She said it would have been so easy to cancel you. But she turned up and at the end she said, thanks, I felt good. So then that was a conversation I had to have with her of why, and I won't go into the details of why she felt like that, but I think it's a behaviour thing. And I think if we can find out why people behave the way they do, that's massive. And also what their visions are for themselves, because we have got visions, Laura, but I found, after doing my NLP, my vision was totally different. My actual vision, after I went through everything, my breakthrough days and everything, to what I thought my vision was, going back, you know, a few months ago, you know, or pre-NLP. Behaviour is a massive thing for me, why we behave the way we do.
Yeah, I love it.
And especially, as I said earlier, certain times for people in their lives. Because, you know, I get to know my ladies, and I think I get to know my ladies, but most probably I don't know a quarter about my ladies. But because I now understand NLP and I can communicate better, and I think it's something, I don't want to be too technical, it's like, you know, where we get to chunking up, as we know. Yeah. And, you know, there's some people, like we say, got a big picture. They might just say some certain big picture words and think, oh, there's more behind that. There's a lot more behind that, which I would never have picked up on before. I would have just said, oh, right, okay, fine. But now I think, no, there's more to that.
Yeah, you know, and that's something, go on.
And something you always said from, I think it was practically from day, and it is from day one, the problem is never really the problem. So when they're giving me the problem of why they can't get health and why they can't get their fitness back, there's another problem behind that problem. And that's what I've now learned to do by my language, by my rapport, by my communication skills, you know, and by what I said earlier, by listening to them. So it's taken me a time for some of them to find out what the real problem is. But when we found out what the real problem is, that's when we can start working on it.
I love it. Brilliant. I couldn't have said it better. You've summed it up brilliantly. Yeah, it's absolutely fab. Listen, I've got a few more questions, but I'm going to go into kind of some quick fire stuff. I don't know if you're expecting this or not, but we always do quick fire at the end. But yeah, Jan, do you know what? Thank you so much for being an awesome individual, but, you know, and sucking up everything I've thrown at you on all the courses and really taking everything I've taught you and making it your own. It's brilliant. But also I've loved hearing how you've used it within health and fitness and how it's helped you, you know, provided you with a springboard to take your existing skill set and just make it even more impactful and get your clients even better results and, you know, make their lives a little bit easier. And I will never get tired of sitting here and listening to how you and others have implemented everything. And yeah, it's always a good day at the office when I get to do these podcasts. I love them. Absolutely love them. Now, just before we get into the quick fire, so you, I'm just looking at my wall planner that's next to me. So you finished your master practitioner course 3 days ago. So yeah, 3 days ago. If anybody is listening to this podcast and is considering doing their master practitioner course with me, and I'd love, because I've never interviewed anybody so close to when they've graduated as master coaches and master practitioners. So if you were to give people a little snippet, a little insight into that master prep program and what it's done for you, what are the kind of things, like day three after the course, what are the kind of things that you're noticing?
From a business point of view, I know where I want to take my business. I got much more clarity. I'm much more focused. I got a vision now. I know where I want to go. And doing the master's brought everything together for me. A totally better understanding of everything that we've learned before.
I love it. Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, I'm so excited about your future and what you're going to do. And it's brilliant. And obviously, you're part of the marketing mastermind, so I know quite a bit about your business. And yeah, it's brilliant. It's been brilliant to watch your journey over the last, 16 months, did we say?
Yeah.
And you have literally transformed, and I'm so delighted that you chose to come and train with me, and that I've had a hand in helping you to become the person that you are sat here today doing this podcast. And it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Quick fire questions, are you ready?
Go on.
Jan's like, all right, okay, cool. So let's start with, what's your favorite word?
Content.
Brilliant. What does unleash your potential mean to you?
Change my life.
Brilliant. If you could, be any age, what age would you be?
My age now.
Go on.
56.
No, I know, as in your actual age, as in why now? Why would you not go back and be an earlier age?
Oh, sorry. Because I think everything, I'm content with everything. I'm happy with my life now. I got a job I absolutely love.
Brilliant. Well, Jan, thank you so much. I know you are super busy with all your personal training clients, all the classes that you run, and all with the Real Woman Revolution that you're leading. And I really, really genuinely appreciate you taking an hour out of your day to come and hang out with us here on the NLP Talks podcast and share the difference that NLP can make in health and fitness. I'm so, so grateful. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Now, Jan, if anybody wants to find out more about you, what you do, what you offer, what's the best way for people to find out about you?
My Facebook page is Jay Fitness, Health and Wellbeing. My website's being launched hopefully before Christmas, and that again is Jay Fitness, Health and Wellbeing. So everything's just Jay Fitness, Health and Wellbeing.
And what will the web domain be for the website when it launches? Because by the time this podcast comes out, it will probably be launched. So where should people go?
Jay Fitness, Health and Wellbeing.
.co.uk or .com or?
.co.uk.
.co.uk. Okay, excellent. Good. Just so that people can track you down. And obviously, once your website's up and running, people can message you through that and all your contact details will be on there. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody that's tuned in to either watch the pre-release live, but also if you are listening to this on any of the podcast platforms where we release our episodes. I'm super, super delighted that you chose to join us to come and listen to Jan's amazing story. Now, if you are interested in finding out more about our courses here at Unleash Your Potential, then please go on over to our website, which is www.unleashyourpotential.org.uk. Now on there you will find the facilities download, a brochure about our courses, to also find out about our online courses, so you don't have to come to me to train. So you can go and find that will be in the menu across the top, and of course you're very welcome to come and train with me live as well. All the details are on our website, and also if you hunt hard you will find a link for some free training, and that will all be on our website. So thank you for listening. This is, as I said at the beginning of the episode, the last interview for series 4, but we have got 2 bonus episodes coming up very shortly, so folks, stay tuned for the bonus episodes. But Jan, thank you again. I really appreciate your time.
Okay.
And take care, everyone. Stay well, stay safe.